Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Thursday, September 14th. Week 2 about to begin this evening. And of course, like we do every Thursday on this podcast during the season, we'll break down wide receiver cornerback matchups, the downgrades and the upgrades, especially for the DFS crowd. Need that information? Of course, we have this information in the wide receiver cornerbacks matchup tool at FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com. All of them have it. And you can check it out, and if you want to get in at a discount, you can use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Before I get into that, I actually did a little riff here in the FTN Fantasy Discord community. So if you are a subscriber, you get access to the Discord community, and really, it's not designed to be like I'm not a start-sit hotline service. Like, you can answer your start-sit questions pretty easily by using rankings. Start the highest ranked guy, easy peasy. No need to be complicated. However, my goal is to make you better players, and that's what I do in the Discord, where I can communicate directly to you. One of the things that I've noticed, and this is not brand new this year, this is something that always seems to happen after week one, is people take that one data point as being indicative of everything that we should expect for the remainder of the season. So I went back to last year, and I wanted to take a look at week one results, just to prove a little bit of a point. So if we looked at week one last year, and here are some of the fantasy finishes, and if we look back to the season last year, we'll see how problematic it would have been to put too much into those week one finishes. Ready? Quarterback. After week one, Carson Wentz was QB3 last year. Marcus Mariota was QB7. Justin Fields was QB23. We know how that worked out. How about running back? You ready for this? Some top 15 guys. Ready? Start with Kareem Hunt, RB4. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was RB6 in the opener last season. Michael Carter was RB13. Okay, those guys, none of them it ended very well for. How about this? Josh Jacobs was RB30. Tony Pollard was RB41 after week one last year. Wide receiver, it's even more glaring. These three receivers all outscored Tyreek Hill, who had a historically good season last year, in week one. Devin Duvernay, wide receiver 9. Robbie Chosen, which wasn't even his name at the time, wide receiver 10. And Curtis Samuel, wide receiver 11. Tyreek Hill was wide receiver 17. DK Metcalf was wide receiver 42. Garrett Wilson was wide receiver 49. Amari Cooper, who had a very solid season, was wide receiver 71. At tight end, I mean, here's the flip-flop. One of the top tight ends last year, TJ Hockenson, he was tight end 14 in week one. Not a good performance for fantasy. Will Disley was tight end 3. I think you get the point. Don't read too much into week one. We need a solid month before we get a sense of who these players are. Week one's always going to be a little weird, and it is not our destiny. Let last year be our guide there. It is not our destiny. Be a little bit more patient with your rosters if guys didn't perform well, and temper your expectations for the Puka Nacuas of the world who explode in week one. In fact, I will talk about his matchup in a little bit here, but I want to start by just my weekly preface. This information is really geared towards more of the DFS crowd. In DFS, wide receiver cornerback matchups do matter a lot more than they do in season-long fantasy football. In season-long fantasy football, your best bet is to start the highest-ranked guys. Even if they're in a bad matchup, start the highest-ranked guys. I've talked about this many times before. Like, say it's a shadow situation, right? We're rarely going to see a shadow situation that is 100% shadow. It's usually like the higher end is 70-plus percent. Heck, you could have shadow situations that are 50%. That means that 50% of the routes are not in that corner's coverage. You can put up an entire week's worth of fantasy production in those routes. So I wouldn't worry there. The problem is with DFS, we want to maximize our scoring per the amount of money we spend. Like, that's how you win, right? Because everybody has the same amount of money to spend. So if you have more points per dollar, then you outclass your opponents, right? Also, we have to worry about exposure. We have to worry about stacking. So it is a different set of strategies. One of the classic mistakes a lot of season-long players make is they read too much into matchups. Believe me, matchups are embedded in the rankings. But rankings show us essentially the midpoint of a wide range of outcomes. And I want to use that. It's a probability. I want to use that to my advantage. So the probability suggests the guy who's ranked at 17 outscores the guy at 19 more often than he doesn't. Now, it doesn't say he outscores him 100% of the time. And in fact, if it's 17 and 19, it's a slim lead for the guy at 17. But still, however, DFS-wise, we have a lot more, you know, in terms of variables. So let's get to the upgrades. I want to start with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. Not that Stephon Diggs needs an upgrade, but he gets a nice matchup here against Vegas. The perimeter duo for Vegas now is Marcus Peters and Jakorian Bennett. Marcus Peters isn't particularly intimidating. I think historically, he's never really been like a shutdown dude. It's more been he's a ball hawk dude, right? And that's where the reputation came from him. I'm not intimidated by it whatsoever. Jakorian Bennett, you know, I mean, last week this duo gave up 8 catches on 10 targets. So Diggs should have no problem. Now, Davis is the ultimate boomer bust. Davis is not going to see a lot of games, at least if his trajectory continues here, where he racks up 15 targets. You know, Davis is like a 4, 5, 6 target guy, but he only needs 2 or 3 catches to give you an entire week of fantasy production. And that's what we're that's why he's like really a great DFS option, because you can shoot from the moon with him. Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins versus Baltimore. Yeah, it wasn't a good start for the Bengals offense, but I really think they bounce back in a big way here. Ordinarily, you look at the Ravens secondary, and I mentioned Peters, who used to be on this secondary, and you say, wow, that's a strong suit. I don't think so right now. Yeah, Ronald Darby and Brandon Stevens. So last week, both of these guys saw double-digit targets against the Texans. Darby, I've never been too intimidated by him as a matchup. And Brandon Stevens last week gave up 8 catches in his coverage. So I think Chase and Higgins bounce back. I am digging, you know, if I was going to stack up, and I'm going to talk about this on CBS Sports Network on Sunday morning, I'm going to stack up Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Zay Flowers and see what happens there in what could be a pretty fun game here. So I love the AFC North in general. I love the rivalries, and they're usually quite entertaining games, even if they're defensive games, but I don't think this one is going to be. Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Seattle. This is not a, oh, he's going up against this corner, so therefore he's going to smash. No. He's going up against a Seattle defense that gave up 10 catches on 15 targets for 119 yards to Puka Nacua last week. And it really wasn't a corner. I can't point to one corner and be like, yep, it was his fault. It's a product of the defense that they play. They give that short and intermediate where St. Brown does his damage. They give that to opposing offenses. St. Brown, love him this week. Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, Rashid Shaheed versus Carolina. J.C. Horn is out. I really like this for Chris Olave when he's in the slot against Jeremy Chin. I mean, Chin's a versatile player, don't get me wrong, but he's overmatched in a lot of matchups, especially like this one. He'll be overmatched against Chris Olave. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith on Thursday Night Football, if you hear this in time. Minnesota just made Baker Mayfield look pretty good. Imagine what's going to happen against Jalen Hurts. I'm shooting for the moon with both Brown and Smith, especially like the Smith side, because Byron Murphy, he'll see Byron Murphy a little bit more than Brown. Murphy allowed catches on all 5 of his targets last week. Nico Collins, Robert Woods versus Indianapolis. I just mentioned, you know, they did fairly well. It was a high volume day against Baltimore. Each of them seeing double-digit targets. I think they see another high-volume day against this Colts corner trio of Dallas Flowers, Kenny Moore, and Daryl Baker. They allowed 12 catches on 16 targets last week. Also like Darnell Mooney versus Tampa Bay. Specifically him, he's running out of the slot more so than DJ Moore and Chase Claypool, if Claypool even plays. But Mooney in the slot against an undrafted rookie free agent who managed to get the starting job in Christian Eizine. I'm all about this for Darnell Mooney. And he scored last week. He also had 7 targets in the process. The matchup downgrades, well, start with Justin Jefferson. It's a downgrade for DFS. Let's just call it what it is, because he's going to see Darius Slay. Now, James Bradbury is not going to play in this one, so that also for DFS purposes, keep in mind for KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison, if you hear this podcast in time, I'm going to use those guys and I'm going to fade Jefferson in my showdown lineups. However, Stars get the star treatment. Slay isn't going to be able to completely shut Jefferson down. If he does, kudos to Darius Slay. But the point here is he's putting a damper on him. The ball funnels away, and there's a cap on the upside. I have Jefferson in a lot of season long, and guess what? I'm not even overthinking this whatsoever. He's locked into starting lineups forever. But in DFS, when the price points come into play, obviously it's a little bit different. Garrett Wilson versus Dallas. We have a quarterback downgrade, of course, one of the stories of the week here with Aaron Rodgers. But we also have a relatively tough matchup for Wilson on the perimeter. The Cowboys added Stephon Gilmore to the roster. You have Trayvon Diggs still there. That's a pretty formidable perimeter duo. I mean, Gilmore's a savvy veteran. There's not really a good matchup to be had here on the perimeter for Garrett Wilson. And then, you know, the major damper of Zach Wilson kind of takes him out of play this week. Terry McLaurin versus Denver. Okay, so there is a looming shadow. Pat Surtain figures to travel with Terry McLaurin in this one. I expect him to play if there is an established number one, and McLaurin is that. Like, I like Jahan Dotson, don't get me wrong, but McLaurin is the established number one. If there is one, Surtain's going to follow that established number one. He's going to travel with him. He did so last week against Davante Adams. So, in a prime example of what I was saying earlier, so Adams had five targets against Surtain. He caught two of them for 16 yards. Well, obviously, he caught six balls for 66 yards, so he did most of his damage when he was not in Surtain's coverage. So, for season-long folks, don't worry too much here. But for DFS purposes, yeah, we're fading him. At the same time, let's consider what happened last week. Jacoby Myers, he went B-A-N-A-N-A-S against this defense. Well, when we look at the defense, Damari Mathis was on the other side. And where I just said with like Puka Nacua, I can't really point fingers at any one corner. Well, I can point fingers here. Damari Mathis against Jacoby Myers gave up seven catches on eight targets for 68 yards and two scores. Jahan Dotson, $4,900 on DraftKings this week. Is he what Brandon Ayuk was last week at $4,900? Of course, I don't know, but I am going to be using Jahan Dotson. I have a lot of exposure to him for this week. Davante Adams versus Buffalo. Okay, so Adams has a foot issue that kept him out of practice on Wednesday. I don't have a Thursday report in front of me as I'm recording this podcast, but that should be noted. However, you know, Tre'Davious White on the other side of the football, this is a tough matchup for Adams. I mean, maybe some more targets funnel his way if Jacoby Myers can't clear concussion protocol, but I don't want to mess with it at his price point. George Pickens, Allen Robinson, Calvin Austin versus Cleveland. Okay, so no Deontay Johnson. If you haven't seen that news, Deontay Johnson is slated to miss the next 4 weeks. It'll take him up through the Steelers' bye before he is expected to come back. That's a whole other thing. Like, if you have Deontay Johnson and you don't have an IR spot, I would need deeper benches in order to hold him. So a deep bench league is a league where you have at least one bench spot for every skill position starter. So if you have a quarterback, two running back, three wide out, a tight end, and a flex, that's eight skill position starters, so not worried about kicker and defense. If you have eight bench spots, then you're a deeper bench league. If you have six, you're like a regular size. If you have five or fewer, you are a short bench league. And I hate short bench leagues with a passion. I do, because they limit our skill. But in those leagues, you can't carry an injured player. And if you don't have an IR spot, you essentially have to drop Johnson. It's too long to carry an injured player. If you have deep benches, yeah, you could carry him. It's not optimal, but you could do it. Ideally, though, you tuck him away on injured reserve. Regardless, for this matchup, it's Cleveland. I mean, this defense just shut down the Bengals passing game last week. They are a very good defense, and I don't want to mess with them. Season-long folks are not going to like what I have to say next. Drake London gets a downgrade against Green Bay. So week one was very rough, obviously a fantasy goose egg. Week two looks like a Jair Alexander shadow is in line here. Alexander last week completely blanketed DJ Moore and pretty much shut him down. Drake London this week, So the season-long folks are going to freak out over Drake London, very likely. They already are, and then it's going to only get worse. We're going to hear how Drake London sucks. We're going to hear how Arthur Smith doesn't know what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, he does. Oh, he does. He very much does. He's doing quite a good job with the run game, and that's what they're focused on. But there are will be better days ahead for Drake London in season long. Don't freak out if this week isn't a good one. Now, last week, of course, Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell both put up 119 receiving yards. Nacua, 15 targets, 10 catches. They both look pretty darn good against the Seahawks. This week, they face the 49ers. And that 49ers defense looked, as advertised, outstanding against the Steelers. They really limited what the Steelers could do through the air. And, well, I think both Nacua and Atwell come crashing back to earth. People are going to go overboard on Nacua. And honestly, for season long, I hope I'm wrong here. But in DFS, I am staying away from Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell. All right, so tomorrow I'll be back with a little bit of a longer edition of the podcast, the Friday breakdown for you here. In the meantime, head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Use that promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. And really, seriously, don't freak out over week one. Even week two, don't freak out. All right, enjoy the football. Tonight should be a fun one there between the Philadelphia Eagles and Minnesota Vikings. And I will be back for that Friday breakdown on the flip side for another edition of the podcast. Of course, my name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and I am out.